the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Welcome to Rant Wrestling. It's your boy, Doomsday 519. And this is episode... Shit, I forgot what fucking episode, because we've been gone for a few weeks. Well, 1 week. Well, we took 1 week off, so I think it's like 217 or some shit. But, alright, but of course my partner in crime in this venture is the man hailing from the west side, West Side Goth.
Yay, yay! We will be taking another break as I am going on vacation.
Nice. Nice.
My job called me yesterday on my day off. Like, well, we wanted to ask you about next week. I was like, I'm on vacation. Well, we know it for 2 weeks. We just want to move some days around because of inventory. It's like, I'm leaving on Saturday.
It's like, no.
It's just, y'all, ain't my fault the job's in shambles. I've been here for you every fucking day.
Yeah.
Asking for more hours. Now y'all want to give me more hours? Fuck you.
Fuck you. Yeah, I took a vacation after basically 11 straight months of working without taking a day off. So, yeah, it's our time.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this vacation. I get to hang out with the family.
Yeah, mine.
Well, white family. So they get along. I don't. I hear stories about black family reunions. I've only ever been to one. So
I have never been to a black family reunion. Most of what consists of anything for me is just like uncles and aunts showing up at our house every now and then. But like, we've never had like a big reunion shit before. I think maybe once when we actually went to Nigeria. But that when all of us went to Nigeria, and that was like fucking almost 2 decades ago. Oh man. But no. We keep the drama over the phone or online. Yeah, fuck that. But yeah, my vacation was pretty decent. I ended up staying in Baltimore City and visited a whole bunch of museums and places I haven't been before, so that was cool. One place in particular I went to was the Baltimore Tattoo Museum, which is about the same size as a regular like tattoo shop, but just with a whole bunch of like old-timey stuff from like the 20th century and even the 19th century and shit like that. It's a whole bunch of old shit in there. But I ended up getting a tattoo, which itches, so like, if you hear some slapping noise during the podcast, that is me slapping and preventing myself from scratching my shit as it peels. So, yeah.
It's cool. I haven't really explored anywhere in, like, L.A. in a long time, but, you know, I've been to places in L.A.
Yeah. Like, most, like, there's, like, certain, like, areas that I haven't been to in Baltimore. Like, downtown I've been, like, plenty of times. Inner Harbor I've been plenty of times, but I haven't been in certain places. I haven't been in, like, some of the historical districts, like Fells Point as much, or, like, Canton. Canton was, I remember that was that place, Duburn's Arena, that ROH used to go to all the time back then, before they rose the rent prices and shit, and basically kicked ROH out of Baltimore altogether. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard it. It sounded like thunder.
Yeah, what the fuck was that? It scared the shit out of me, dude.
Yeah, like some ominous fucking sign if I'm hearing that shit over Skype.
Holy shit, dude. Yo, but yeah, but for real. But yeah, it's nice. I tied my vacation back into wrestling with ROH, which I did not go to last Friday. They had the Best in the World event. which was at I believe it was University of Maryland, Baltimore County, their event center. But I decided not to because I don't even follow ROH shit anymore. It's whatever.
Yeah, I read the result. Show sounded all right. And then Dalton Castle lost the title the next night.
Yeah,
he sounds like he's in like horrible fucking shape. They were listing his injuries. He should have dropped the title months ago.
Shit.
Yeah, like broken finger. There was a vertebrae injury that didn't come up right. Oh, bunch of shit.
Wow.
He's gonna be out for a while.
Huh.
All right. So we'll start by talking about a show I watched here. Chilling. Which was the CEO New Japan show that people have been talking about.
The infamous show. Just for the one fucking match.
Yeah, and then we'll start with that. But first, the show started late, obviously.
Of course.
The production value was not that good. They didn't mic the crowd or the ring, so you could barely hear certain things unless they were really, really loud. Other than that, the staging of the cameras was fine. I actually liked the commentators. It was three gamer guys, but they knew wrestling. The one British dude, Logan, was a pretty good heel commentator. But for a bunch of guys who've never commentated wrestling before, they were actually really good. And they were fun to listen to. So, but then we started with the problem.
Yeah.
Now, apparently... they hired a wrestling school from Florida to be ring crew and security. And that school is run by Chasen Rance and, I believe, Aaron Epic. Chasen Rance, convicted sex predator.
He's a sex offender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Attempting, I don't know if he actually accomplished it, but... something with the teenage girl.
Oh no! Okay, here's this. I don't have the full details, but I've heard that he had multiple sexual encounters with her, and there was even one point that she complained about him cheating on her.
Wow!
So yeah, it's real pretty gross. There was a legit relationship going on.
Wow! All right, then there's Aaron Epic domestic abuse charges, at least just one. I'm not sure if he had more than one.
Yeah.
Now, the Chase Rance thing is much worse than Aaron Epic. Not to ignore what Aaron Epic does, but some people, you know, they get counseling, they get better. I don't know how long ago this was. Maybe Aaron Epic is a better person now. I hope, but for a show like this. Probably should have done some background checks. Omega said he didn't know Aaron Epic, but he had met Chase Rance once in 2004. He actually met him last year, too, because I guess they hired the same ring crew for the wrestling ring. So Omega's run into Chase and Rance at least twice.
Oh, yeah. I think somebody brought up, like, receipts. Like, they had, like, a picture of him taken with him more recently and shit.
Yeah, I wonder what was going through the minds of Chasen Rance and Aaron Epic. Well, Aaron Epic, like I said, as much as the domestic abuse thing isn't good, since it sounds like that's been like 5 or 6 years, he hasn't had any other incidences, I'm not as mad. But Chasen Rance thing, like, come on, dude, you knew for a fucking fact that this shit was going to pop up online.
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with you? The match itself... was like 90% boring. So,
yeah, that doesn't surprise me because, like, I knew who like Aaron Epic was, and he wasn't really that great from what I had seen from him.
Yeah, Aaron Epic is weird because he would show like the one or two matches I saw. He would show flashes of talent, but the rest of the construction of the match was just dull, and that's kind of how it was in this match. That match happened, then they did this thing with the DDT guy, David Nakazawa. I wasn't paying attention because I didn't care. And the guy who runs CEO, Bailey, showed up and did a bit.
Yeah.
And then they went into another fucking intermission. So it was like, why? Alright, and then the show actually kind of started. I believe it started with, what the hell was the first match on there? I can't fucking remember. This is straight. Oh, wait. It was Rocky Romero and Jushin Thunder Liger. It was like an okay house show match. They weren't really trying. They went out there, did their things. Crowd was happy to see Liger. That was really the point. And then, I think it was the Gorillas of Destiny versus Finley and Juice. And that was sort of a whatever match, too, but Gorillas of Destiny got a good reaction and, you know, some pretty good stuff going on. Then, I believe after that it was Jeff Cobb versus Chase Owens, which was an alright match. I mean, a lot of the matches were house matches until the last two matches, which was Sho and Yo, Roppongi 3K, taking on Dragon Lee and Ryusuke Taguchi. And nobody told these motherfuckers this shit was a house show, because they went. Dragon Lee always goes fucking hard. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
And Ryusuke Taguchi, you know, the thing about Taguchi I like is how he plays around for a bit, and then he starts getting serious, and then now there's a spot in every match where he suddenly just goes super luchador, where he's just doing dive, dive, dive. So he was going all out, and then Sho and Yo were doing their thing, so it was... That was actually a really good fucking match. And then, of course, the main event was Hiromu Takahashi and Tetsuya Naito versus the Golden Lovers. Very good match. Some very scary bumps. There was actually a good bit where it looked like Kota Ibushi was about to wrestle Daryl the Cat. Which, you know, I'm a mark for. Omega and Hiromu were comparing sizes of belts because, you know, Hiromu's the junior heavyweight champion. But yeah, they went hard, lots of good stuff. Ibushi took the sunset flip bomb on the outside on the back of his head for some reason. I don't know. At first I thought maybe he was going to try to flip out of it, but didn't. And I don't know. And Naito took this nasty-looking double team move that Omega and Ibushi do, where Omega goes for the powerbomb, but then he throws him to Ibushi, who does this high-angle German suplex. Dropped Naito right on the back of his head. But, I guess he's fine, because they haven't said shit. So, overall, if you were going to watch the show, which was free on Twitch, I would just watch the last two matches. And then Omega, adding more fuel to fire, mentioned his really bad interview from a week ago.
Oh, God.
But he said that he wanted to thank all the Japanese crowd for believing in what he was trying to do that day.
Yeah.
He said, in spite of what people said about my disparaging remarks, like, come on, Omega, come on. Just thank the New Japan for letting you do this shit, right? This is why you're not in my top five this year, Omega. Anyway... We also had some G1 stuff go down in the UK. Oka is now on excursion. Old boy Oka, you know.
Oh yeah, I saw like his new weird like Chinese zombie gimmick.
Yeah, he looks. I heard his finisher sucks, but his matches were okay. It'll be interesting. I don't know what's going on. He'll be mostly staying in Europe, so we'll see what happens. Walter won all his matches, so maybe New Japan might be thinking about bringing Walter in the future. Okada tapped out to Zack Sabre Jr., and Minoru Suzuki is now not only one half of the Rev Pro Tag Team Champions, but also the Rev Pro British Heavyweight Champion.
He is the man.
Yeah. At 50 years old, he's still whooping people's asses.
Yeah.
Alright, and now we have the G1 show in San Francisco, which I'm not going to go to. This show is not sold out, so you can still go get tickets. It sounds like this was probably not the best place to throw the show anyway. They should have just did it in Long Beach. But they wanted a bigger venue to see what had happened. They could have found a bigger venue somewhere in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Probably would have been better. But here you go, the G1 special in San Francisco. I will be driving to Colorado that day, so I won't be able to watch it on Access. I might be able to... I'll probably catch it on demand later. Maybe. But here we go. We got open up with a 10-man match as Chaos takes on Bullet Club. The Chaos team is Roppongi 3K, all three of them, Ghetto, Yoshihashi. The Bullet Club team is Team Tongan and Guess, or Team Tongan and Honorary Tongans. That's Chase Owens, Yujiro Takahashi, and God, and God's father, King Haku. King Haku, by the way, is also scheduled to wrestle Nick Gage.
Oh, really? Wow. Huh.
At the next Joey Janela GCW special, Joey Janela lost in New York.
I hope he hits a sick pile driver.
In Joey Janela's continuing desire to wrestle every junior Japanese junior heavyweight he grew up watching, he will be battling Hakushi, a.k.a. Jinsei Shinzaki. He had a whole video for it, too.
Yeah.
I'm actually hyped. I think I only care about now these special GCW shows. That's all I want to see.
Oh, yo, GCW has been on point when they come to these special-ass shows and shit. I could care less about their deathmatch shit.
Yeah.
But, like, all that special shit is dope as hell to me.
Yeah, they go hard. I mean, fucking Nick Gage and fucking Ming? He's going by Ming for this match, too, or King Ming.
Oh.
But, yep. Alright, so that's match number one. Haku and Ming are the same person, right? I get confused because of WWE, WCW. You know, they were fucking weird like that. I don't know. Why did he have... I wish everybody could just use the same fucking name back then in every wrestling company. I mean, I know most did, but... Yeah. Yep, alright. Moving on to the next match on this show, G1 Special. We have Toriano and Tomohiro Ishii versus Zack Sabre Jr. and Minoru Suzuki. We got a third match, Kushida and Hiroshi Tanahashi taking on Marty Scurll and Hangman Page. Fourth match is the NEVER Openweight Championship match as Hirooki Goto, who is now a three-time champion after reclaiming the title from Michael Elgin, takes on challenger Jeff Cobb. I would be surprised if Cobb wins because Cobb has only spent a little bit of time in New Japan, and this is officially, I think this is only his first singles match. Not counting the CEO New Japan show. If you do, that's his second singles match. Well, he hasn't had a singles match in New Japan. So, you know. All right, fifth match, a rematch for the tag team titles as Sanada and the King of Darkness, Evil, Los Ingobernables de Japón, look to reclaim the titles from Nick and Matt Jackson, the Young Bucks. Then we have a special match with Will Ospreay and Kazuchika Okada in his new pants, taking on Bushi and Tetsuya Naito, a.k.a. Los Ingobernables de Japón.
His spicy pants.
Spicy pants.
His red hot and spicy.
Yep. Other LIJ member Hiromu Takahashi will be defending his junior heavyweight title against challenger Dragon Lee. Somebody's going to die. Of course, I say that every time these guys have a match. Our eighth match is the second U.S. champion, Jay White, defending his title against Juice Robinson. Does Juice finally win it, or is Jay White going to successfully defend the title? And in the main event, the 66th heavyweight champion, Kenny Omega, defends the title against fellow Bullet Club guy, possible leader. I don't know who's leading the Bullet Club anymore. Really, I don't. Cody. That is your G1 special. And because I will not be here next week, we are going to briefly go talk about, what's that show? The G1 Climax, actually.
Oh, yeah. G1.
Yes. All right.
The second most important tournament of this summer, next to the World Cup.
Yes. I was like, there's another one? But yeah, the World Cup. I haven't been watching, but I've been following the news.
Yo, Japan blew it. I was... Yo, it was like, they were winning 2-0, and then they got tied up 2-2 within the last, like, fucking, like, 10-15 minutes of the match, and then they lost at, like, past regulation time. It was fucking terrible. But it was pretty entertaining to watch that second half of the game. Yeah, what ended up happening was that freaking it was Colombia versus England, and like they ended up tying it up. Went to extra time, first half extra time. Went to second half of extra time. Nobody scored, so they ended up. It was basically a shootout, and lo and behold, England ended up winning. So now all the smug Englishmen are gonna be talking a whole bunch of shit for a while.
And it's the English; they always talk shit.
Yeah, yeah. I hate the. I don't like. I just the English don't rub me the right way because like. Like, half of the time they claim that they're better than the U.S., but at the same time they're just as fucking racist.
Yeah. But right now I take their racism slightly over America's racism.
Nah. Theirs is worse just because the media is even worse there. The media is fucking garbage. Okay, so over here we have liberal media. Over there it's more conservative media. And it's really fucking racist. Like they, like that's why I feel bad for like some of the English, the black English players, especially this one. I forgot. I think his last name Sterling. I think Raheem Sterling. And they talk shit about him all the time for no reason, like no reason at all. They're pieces of shit. They're real pieces of shit.
There's got to be somewhere in the European area where a black man won't get talked shit about as much.
No. No. Well, maybe one of those, like happy-go-lucky areas. But any, like, regular, smegular place, no. Like, maybe one of those happy-go-lucky areas, like Switzerland or Sweden or Netherlands.
Yeah, they don't have enough black people to be racist.
Yeah, exactly. They'll be, like, real friendly to you. Maybe they'll talk shit behind your back, but at least they'll be kind of nice to you up front.
And their cops don't. Their cops won't shoot you.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
They'll send you to the good jail.
The jails are fantastic. And then, oh, Denmark, too. Denmark, that's another place.
That's where I'm fucking moving. That's the place to be. Though, I'm sure food won't be as good. See, that's why I don't want to leave California. I mean, the closest to good food we have here has to be, like, Canada.
Yeah.
All right. Are we recording?
Oh, yeah, we are, most definitely.
All right, so I'm only going to do the five shows. Is it five shows? Or four shows? Because there's Saturday through Monday. Okay, so four shows, because I'll be back that Wednesday. So I'll do Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then Thursday, because they're taking Tuesday and Wednesday off. So I'll be back to do after that. But all right, so here's what's happening. July 14th show, which I will still be in Colorado then. We have these five matches. You ready, man?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way. Just to let you know, my prediction, and I'm going to be completely wrong because I already did the G1 Voices Pick'em, I'm predicting Evil versus Kota Ibushi in the finals. The reason I'm predicting this is I figure they're still, they might be doing Jericho Evil, so I figure they want to keep Evil strong through the tournament. And yeah, honestly, looking at A-Block, I could only look at like Tanahashi or... Okada to win, and I decided if neither of them are going to win, then why would you put any of them in the, let any of them win the block itself. So I went Evil for Block A winner. For Block B winner, that was tougher because it could have been Omega who won't going all the way through, Kota Ibushi, Naito, or even Zack Sabre Jr., but I ultimately went with Kota Ibushi with winning Block B and winning the whole thing. So that's how my predictions laid out. It took me a while to figure out how that shit was going to go down, though. But that's what I was building to. But anyway, here's my, here we go. July 14th, Block A, debut show. I think it's in, it is at the, Oda City General Gymnasium, I guess. All right, so first up, we have Togi Makabe versus Yoshihashi. I got Makabe to win. What do you think?
Yeah, I got Makabe.
All right. And then we got Bad Luck Fale, who recently dropped 40 pounds, and he just posted a picture. He said, "Hey, look, I have a neck again." taking on the G1 Climax debuting Hangman Page, Bullet Club versus Bullet Club. I'm going with Fale to be a contender all the way through and to win this match. What do you think?
Yeah, I got Fale.
All right. Now, this is where I, even though I, okay, so this, the middle match right here is Michael Elgin versus Evil. Now, even though I predicted Evil to win the block, a lot of times they like to start guys off who are winning at least one of the blocks as, you know, losing a couple matches. So I actually have, I think, Evil losing his first two matches, or, well, his first match at least. So I actually have Elgin going over in this match. What about you?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Elgin.
All right. Because, you know, he's going to... Because the way I usually look at this is, like, most guys usually get four wins. So I got to figure out how they get four wins. Next up, I have Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Minoru Suzuki. This is my other prediction one. But, shit, I made two different prediction blocks originally. Let me pull up my other one.
So I got Suzuki, though.
You do?
Yeah.
All right, because with this one, I actually had Tanahashi winning because the last match, Suzuki took the title off of Tanahashi. But I'll write you down for Suzuki. All right. Boom. All right, and then in the main event on the first show, we have Kazuchika Okada, the former heavyweight champion who's apparently been looking really lost lately, taking on the U.S. champion and fellow stablemate of Chaos, Jay White, who may be the champion going into this. I have Jay White beating Okada, actually, on the first night of the first main event. What do you think?
I don't know. I gotta go with Okada, man.
Okada. All right. Then next is the B Block debut, July 15th, from the same place, the Oka City General Gymnasium. We open up with Tomohiro Ishii versus Toru Yano. I actually have Yano going over, but, you know, because Yano's going to win, like, four matches, so. What do you think? Ishii or Yano?
Let me go with Ishii.
Ishii, all right. Next up, we have Juice Robinson versus Tama Tonga. Let me remind everyone, this is the 15th show, the show on the 15th. So, yeah, Juice Robinson versus Tama Tonga. All right, according to my thing, I have Robinson
I got Juice.
Going with the Juice, all right. Next up, we have Sonata and Hirooki Goto. I believe I got Goto going over. Yeah, Goto might still be the champion here. Who do you got?
Yeah, I'll go Goto.
All right. In the semi-main event, we have Kota Ibushi versus Zack Sabre Jr. Since I, like I said, I have Kota winning it, overall, I decided to actually have him lose to Zack Sabre Jr. here, even though they're 1-1, actually, I believe, right now in New Japan matches. So, so I got Zack Sabre Jr. Who do you got?
Oh, Zack Sabre Jr. Yeah, I got Zack Sabre Jr.
All right, ZSJ. And then in the big main event, because these guys have 2 years ago, they had their first match in the B Block, last night of B Block, the deciding match. And then last year, they met in the finals of the G1 Climax. The champion, Kenny Omega versus Tetsuya Naito. I have Omega winning. Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Omega.
Yeah, even though my heart wants Naito to win.
Yeah. But, all right. But our heart will go on.
Yes. Thank you, Celine.
Yeah. yeah, that's right.
July 16th. All right, we got opening up with Yoshihashi versus Evil. I got Evil winning this shit. I think I only had Yoshihashi win two matches this whole thing.
Yeah, it's going to be Evil.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, why would they let Yoshihashi be Evil? Yoshihashi's like the one name on here I thought they could change, but then I remember they probably needed somebody to lose. You know? All right, we got Michael Elgin versus Hangman Page. This is where I gave Page his first win.
Yeah, I'll give it to him.
All right. Next up, Okada versus Fale. I got Fale to win.
Really?
Huh. Yeah, I'm not letting Okada win this fucking tournament.
Yeah, you're right.
Five matches.
You're right. And I already had Okada winning the first one, so I'm gonna go with Fale.
Yeah. I was looking at like last year's. I think Fale won 6 matches, and the year before that he won 5. And I'm like, shit.
Yeah, he wins. That's the thing. He wins though. He just doesn't get to the end.
He always gets spoiled. I think last year what spoiled him was probably the match before his last match, because he won his last match against Nagata, but he was but I think his loss to Yoshihashi as a surprise was the one that kind of knocked him out at the last minute. But next up we have Minoru Suzuki versus Togi Makabe. I actually have Makabe winning because Makabe usually starts strong and then peters out. So it's like, and Makabe lost to Suzuki in their last match. So I was like, I'll let Makabe win this shit. What do you think?
Yeah, Makabe.
All right. And then the main event, Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Jay White. I got Jay White knocking Tanahashi out because fuck it, why not?
Yeah. I'll take that.
All right. All right, last one I'm going to do, because I will be back Wednesday before this show to record, will be the Thursday show. All three of the first shows are... actually, the third show, the Monday show, is from Hokkaido. So they're going to fly all the way there, and then they're coming back for the first of a bunch of Korakuen Hall shows on Thursday in Tokyo. So Block B and Korakuen Hall. We open up with Sonata versus Tama Tonga. I have... Where am I on here? Yeah, I have Sonata. Oh, interesting enough, I just realized my G1 pick'ems actually sent Yoshihashi over Evil, so I have him lose his first 2 matches. That's weird. But I have him winning overall, so let me just change mine real quick. Yeah. But, all right. But I still, don't worry, Evil, I still got you winning your whole A block. All right, so yeah, Sonata versus Tama Tonga. I got Sonata winning. What do you think?
Yeah, let me go Sonata.
All right. We got Zack Sabre Jr. versus Toru Yano. I don't know if you got to see that tag match where they were on the opposite sides. The one I was telling you where he reversed the low blow
arm breaker thing. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so I got ZSJ winning.
Yep, Zack Sabre Jr. All
right, I got Ibushi over Juice Robinson in the next match.
You know what? I got Juice.
Ooh.
I got Juice, yeah.
Juice is on the loose. All right.
The juice is loose.
The juice is loose. All right, Ishii versus Naito. I have Naito going into a 0-2 in his first 2 matches. I have Ishii winning, yeah.
Yeah, I got Naito.
All right, and then in the main event of the fourth show, we have Hirooki Goto versus Kenny Omega. I got Kenny Omega.
Yeah, Omega.
All right, so those are the first 4 shows booked. So I'm looking forward to it. So far the matches are look pretty good. And right before we hand it off, start talking about some WWE stuff. Some quick notes. CMLL is currently hot for the first time in a long time. Last Friday's show, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I did watch the one-on-one match between King Phoenix, a.k.a. Rey Phoenix, versus Barbero Caballero, which ended up being really fucking good. It's the whole show is up on their YouTube page. You just got to find the date. I forget what last... Was that the 30th was last? Or was it the 29th that was last Friday? Yeah. Well, it's either the 29th or 30th. You just find the singles match. It's traditional Lucha Libre rules, 2 out of 3 falls. Really good match. Lucha Twitter went crazy on it. And then later in that show, guess who showed up to knock the fuck out of Caristico, a.k.a. Sin Cara, a.k.a. Mystico?
He's a Penta El Om?
Yes, it was. Making his official CMLL Arena Mexique debut. Which leads me to mention this show coming up this weekend, because it will be his in-ring debut. Let me bring up the poster for it so I can read it off that. All right, so the opening match is Starman and Robin versus Inquisidor and Apocalypse. You probably could skip that. The six women's match. I haven't watched one of those in a while, but Lucha Twitter doesn't like any of these women wrestlers right here. Well, they don't like the women's matches. I'm not sure what they actually think about the women themselves. Then we got Trident, Esfange, and Guerrero Mayo versus Virus, Puma, and Tiger. That will be pretty good. Virus and Puma are really good. Trident and Guerrero Mayo are pretty good. Esfange might be all right. Atlantis, Soberano, and Flyer will take on Sanson, Quintero, and Forastero. Then we have a match with former AAA guys. Cybernetico, or as CMLL calls him, Cyber the Main Man, teaming with Charlie Rockstar, a.k.a. here, Charlie Rockstar, and the Crist, which I don't know who he is. But yeah, that's two normally AAA-affiliated dudes, or three. Taking on Ultimo Guerrero, Euphora, and Gran Guerrero, that would be a pretty good match. And then the main event, Penta L0M, Rush, and Terrible, will be taking on Caristico, Volador Jr., and Valiente, which will be a pretty awesome main event. I don't remember how good Terrible is, but... And Rush is kind of a weird wrestler, because I don't necessarily like Rush, but he has a lot of charisma, and he brings a little a certain kind of edge to his wrestling. You know what I mean, right? He does a lot of simple stuff, but the crowd, but him just being there means the crowd's going to be fucking insane. But then, you know, Caristico, Volador Jr., and Valiente are... Yeah, really good high flyers. Volador Jr. mainly. But that'll be a very hot main event. And these shows have been doing, basically, for the last few weeks, these Friday shows have gone up to about 9,000 to 10,000 people over the usual 6,000. Hmm. So, you know, CMLL is hit on a thing. They may not be able to do storylines worth a damn, but they can book a fucking Friday show now. All right, so that's really all I have. You want to talk about wrestling, WWE, or you just want to go talk about news?
Okay, so not much of anything happened on Raw besides the whole Kevin Owens trying to duck Braun Strowman thing, which resulted in Braun dragging a porta potty with Kevin Owens locked inside all the way to the top of the ramp and pushing him off of it, and with all that blue nasty sanitary liquid all over him and shit. So there was that, and yeah, that's it besides news and shit. And so for news, do you have anything that you want to...
I'm trying to think if there was anything, I guess we're going to talk about Matt, I can't pronounce his last name.
Capitelli?
Capitelli, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why I wasn't able to, there's an S there. So, RIP him. I've never seen any of his matches, but I had heard of him.
He was like OVW, he was an OVW for like a while. Because he was the co-winner with Johnny Mundo back in the day. I think it was Tough Enough 3. So when they both won, they like were training in OVW for a while. And then I believe he got cancer. Yeah, he got cancer before he ever made any type of televised appearance. So, and he was battling it for, like, well over a decade. So, like, he, at some point he was in remission and then it came back. So, damn shame. But, yeah, he lived a long time battling that shit, like, a long time. But I think he was also a trainer for wrestlers down in OVW. So, he never left wrestling at all. So, that was his passion. So, RIP to him.
Yeah. That was, that was, like, one of the biggest news things that was happening coming out of the last couple weeks. I know there was some other stuff happening. I know there was interview with Stone Cold Steve Austin and Enzo Amore, but I read a little bit of what they were talking about. I'm like, fuck this interview.
Yeah, one thing I heard from Enzo is that he was basically talking shit about Triple H or something like that, and basically saying that he was at odds with him all the time, and that basically the one person that Vince McMahon focused on the most was Enzo or whatever. And so, like, I don't know. That was the gist of what I got from him.
Yeah, I don't like that guy.
he's a dickhead. Fuck him.
There's just a whole... Yeah, I don't know. I think everything that was coming out of wrestling news was kind of depressing.
Yeah.
The only wrestling-related thing I cared about really was going into GLOW.
Yeah.
But that was basically it. I did read, though, it's not a spoiler, but they said, because there's not that many wrestlers making appearances this season, like legit wrestlers.
Yeah.
But someone said it might have had to do with, I guess, one of the wrestlers they worked with on camera last year was apparently an asshole to the cast.
Really?
Yeah, they said that there was a rumor going around that there was one of the guys was, they said, less than gentlemanly to the women.
Okay.
I tried to find out who it was.
So, but, I don't think it was Alex Riley. I don't think so. Because, like, he seems like the type that would butter up to people. Definitely not Joey Ryan.
Well, it wasn't Carlito, because he actually, he's one of the only two wrestlers I spotted that showed up this season.
Oh, for season two? Okay.
Yeah, he shows up, I'm not going to say, well, he shows up in 2-bit, one in a small clip.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense, because he's the brother of one of the characters, so, yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
And Chavo was still training, and he was, he actually was on camera this season, so. Yeah.
Shit, yeah. Who else was on that show on season one?
There was there was her other brother and her dad. But yeah. I don't know if the guy who played her dad was a wrestler. Her other brother
Yeah, the guy that played her dad is an actor. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure there was a couple in the PWG sequence.
Oh, well, who PWG. Else? Was it, no, I think it was a frickin', what's his name? Tyrus was also in it.
Tyrus.
Brodus Clay.
Yeah, okay, that might have been him.
So it could have been him.
I don't think, I think Joey Ryan would have been
Yeah, Ryan, so
he does actual action.
So Brodus Clay didn't show up on season two.
No.
So it could have been him.
Yeah, it could have been. I mean, it would make it would make sense. Why bring in the one brother when you could have brought in both?
Exactly.
Because he comes in the second scene with Chavo.
Oh, yeah.
So it might have been him.
Yeah, it might have been him.
She had two brothers. And I was like,
yeah, she had two.
Why was Chavo coming in?
Yeah, it was Chavo and Brodus Clay. Yeah.
So so they didn't show Brodus or the guy who played her dad at all. But if the guy who played her dad was an actor, he might have been on another job, because the woman who plays Bash's mom's not on this season either.
Oh yeah,
so they might have been busy.
Okay.
But so it might have been Brodus Clay.
Yeah.
Joey Ryan's working too much flipping people with his dick, so
yeah,
he might not have been available.
Yeah, so it's Brodus Clay. It's definitely Brodus.
Fuck you, Brodus. Whatever.
I don't know. He appears on Fox News, so he's always kind of sketchy to me. Even though he does, when he does appear on Fox News, it's kind of to like be that more moderate like talking piece or whatever. But still,
yeah,
he's
Fox
on
Fox. News.
He's on Fox News. News.
My favorite thing now is seeing the conservatives and moderates who are so pissed off at their own party. They're like, fuck it, I'm Democrat now.
Jesus Christ. No, and one thing I hate about the Democrats now is how they're attacking progressives.
Yeah, they got mad because someone lost. And at least that guy lost with some fucking dignity, right?
He lost with dignity.
It was, you know what? She won.
It was
she
a fair... It was
her,
a
and everyone was like, no!
It was a fucking fair... You know why they're mad? Because now they're scared that there's going to be more young people running, and they're going to start losing their spots.
Their old asses need to lose.
Yeah, that a lot of these, what is it, septuagenarians or whatever, the people...
Septuagenarians, yeah.
Yeah, 70 and over and shit like that. A lot of those types that are still in the Senate are scared as shit right now. Because, like, at this point, Democrats haven't done shit for anybody. Like,
no, they've been trying to be what, fucking civil and shit.
They've been trying to be civil. They've been trying
to play the game. Get your shit together.
And a lot of this compromise bullshit, and then that's not gonna work. That's not gonna fly now. You can't compromise these days. You can't.
Like, we have to rely on these other countries who are laying all these tariffs on us to get shit done.
Yeah, Jesus
Christ.
Canada
probably just... They said that if Canada's tariffs continue, they're going to cost Kentucky alone like $200 million.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, Trump's just digging his own grave at this point. Because, like, everybody... Like, even the farmers are losing profits and may be going out of business. So, if he starts losing a lot of these, like... If he starts losing the Midwest because of his bonehead shit to try to make big corporations, domestic corporations money, it's game over for him.
I know, it's weird though. Harley Davidson said they're going to have to close one of the factories, and their workers are like, well, maybe if Trump's doing it, there's a reason. Like, bitch, you're unemployed.
Yeah, bitch, you're unemployed, and your employer is moving some of their operations overseas. So yeah, Harvey Davidson, besides shutting down, they're moving stuff overseas, which Trump, one of his biggest things was like, oh, we're gonna keep everything American made. But no, like, he's literally forced some places to leave. So yeah, man,
I did this retweet earlier because it reminded me of my uncle, who was like old. He was an old school anime fan, right?
Yeah.
Somebody tweeted this out. Young anime fans. Sometimes a show I want to watch isn't online legally. Old anime fans. Once in 1993, I paid a man named Spider $5,000 behind an abandoned Carl's Jr. for half a fan sub episode of Dragon Ball on Betamax, and I was thankful for it.
Jesus.
And my uncle responded like, "This is so true."
Oh, man.
I remember, like, seeing his old bootleg copies of fucking Bubblegum Crisis and shit.
See, niche genres and shit, like, they have that type of story everywhere. Like, going back to wrestling.
Yeah.
Tape traders. same concept, you know? Like, these days, you can see all the international shit anytime you want, and a lot of the shit is streamed and archived and shit. But back in the day, they had to, like, really scratch and claw for that shit. You had to figure out, you have to find somebody who was, like, selling it and shit. And you have to pay arm and a leg to buy that shit. And
then
man.
Someone was like, you know what, let's just put that shit on the internet.
Yeah.
Put all the tape traders out of business.
Yeah, because, like, it was tape trading, then it was, like, torrent sites, and then, people just started saying fuck it and posting shit on YouTube. And then when YouTube finally cracked down on that with the help of the actual promotions, then the promotions decided to finally do streaming services with all the archived shit. So, yeah. Yep. There are stages to that stuff.
Yep, progress. Now we just need progress in other fucking places. Yeah.
I like how we switched this. We went from, like politics back to wrestling.
Yeah, and it all started with that asshole Brodus Clay.
Oh yeah, fuck him. Yeah, I don't care if you. I don't care if you were Snoop Dogg's bodyguard. You're Brodus Clay. You forever be the Funkasaurus. the Funkasaurus. Okay, so, but I got a good amount of news going down since it's been, like, a few weeks and shit. According to Wrestling Observer Newsletter, WWE has made a working agreement with Pro Wrestling Noah. I don't know if that shit is true, but they said details are limited, quote-unquote. But the deal will see Hideo Itami returning to Noah in August 29th.
Yeah. I mean, having Hideo Itami work that show is great.
Yeah.
But they ain't gonna get shit from fucking Noah.
Yeah, they're not.
Nope. I mean, I heard their main events lately have been really good, but they're still having a very serious problem with their undercard.
Yeah.
They have storylines. They're not in the top five wrestling companies in Japan right now. Because that's like New Japan, Dragon Gate. Even though I don't ever hear what the fuck's going on with Dragon Gate, apparently they're still number two.
Yeah. You got, and that's including the Joshi promotions.
Yeah, because I think the last Stardom show did like 1,100, 1,200 people for Io Shirai's show.
Right.
Their shows are always like a few hundred people more than your average fucking Noah show, because Noah's lucky to like get 1,000 people.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Stardom is doing around 800, I think, on average. Whenever Sendai Girls does their big show, they usually do 1,100. And they only do like 3 or 4 shows a week. I mean, not a week, three or four shows a month. Usually.
My shit got fucked up again. But yeah, so you said $5.99 a month?
Yeah, for the Sendai Girls web thing.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah. So that's all right. But I'm trying to think of who else. Jesus, what the hell is that? Was a microphone or your microphone?
I think it's something wrong with my microphone. Like, I guess the connection's kind of funny. That's why it's cutting off, I think. So, like, if I wiggle the wire a little bit, for some reason it cuts off. Because I just turned my head for a second with me holding the mic and it fucked up. So, my bad.
No. It's whatever. You stupid fucking internet. You think they fix everything?
Yeah. But yeah, and then going back to more Japanese stuff, they had the tour of Japan and Taipei, I believe, for WWE SmackDown Live folks. Hideo Itami, of course, was there, and I believe he did the Shibata pose in respect to his old partner, and of course the crowd was chanting Shibata, Shibata, which is cool. And of course they formally introduced Io Shirai to the Japanese public, the Japanese crowd, as a new official signee for the WWE. So, yeah, cool shit. Yeah,
congratulations to her.
Yeah, congrats. What else? Again, going back to Wrestling Observer Newsletter, allegedly WWE is considering a WWE Network show / special featuring talent not under contract with WWE. The idea behind the show would be to use the relationships between WWN, ICW, and Progress, as well as to use it to look at other talents not signed. So it's basically Evolve people, ICW, and Progress people that will most likely be featured. Allegedly. And then we mentioned Io Shirai. We don't know if she'll be part of this, but WWE officially announced the Mae Young Classic 2018, which takes place on August 8th. And the August 9th from Full Sail Live. Yeah, good stuff.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. What else? There's also reports that the New Day will be moving out of the tag team division altogether. They'll still be a team, but they'll just be operating as singles competitors. Which makes sense, because, like, if you look outside of WWE, most stables or trios still operate as singles competitors on a regular basis. So there's no point. So like people would always say like, "Oh, New Day should split up. New Day should split up if like they don't have much to do in the tag team division." No, they don't need to split up. They can still be a fucking unit, you know?
Yeah, that's what they do in Japanese wrestling, for God's sake.
Yeah, so, I don't know. It's whatever. But good on them for sticking together, because that's still a dope gimmick to still keep going on with.
Ace is
going
to finally win the title, right?
Yeah, hopefully. It's somber news. Sami Zayn will be out until sometime in 2019, because he tore both of his rotator cuffs. Yes.
Who did?
Sami Zayn.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, I heard that.
Yeah.
And then when he comes back, he should quit.
Yeah, he should. Yeah, because what... Yeah, they're fucking... I don't know.
I'm looking at a gif of Jimmy Rave, and he's dressed like he did in TNA when they were doing the Rock and Rave Revolution.
Rock and Rave... Rock... was it Rock and Rave Revolution or Rock... I thought it was Rock and Rave Infection or something like that.
Yeah, it was Infection. And it's with Suicide's in the ring with him.
Oh, God. Suicide. Jesus. I remember...
But, I had seen a picture of Jimmy Rave coming to CZW recently. He looked like... The one dude from the Strain. The Exterminator guy.
Oh, shit, I forgot what his name was. But I know the big Russian one, yeah.
Yeah, he had his... I was like...
He had the goatee and all that. Yeah.
But here he actually looks kind of like he did at old TNA. But that's cool.
Interesting.
Very, yeah, the... I'm forever be a Jimmy Rave mark.
Yeah. What else happened? Tucker Knight, welcome to Baby Girl. He is one half of Heavy Machinery in NXT. So yet another Baby Girl for these wrestlers. Yet another one.
I'm telling you, they're gonna be main event in Mania in 10
Jesus.
Years.
So there's so many of them. And then also we talked about Suzuki earlier. He actually had a great Pirates Festival, like over a week ago. And it was interesting for the fact that, it was actually raining hard during that shit. So like everybody was trying to wrestle and then of course, yeah, you had Okada, of course, Rainmaker, and he was wrestling in rain. So yeah. Good stuff. And a fucking monsoon. In other injury news, Oney Lorcan is also out indefinitely with an orbital bone injury. So,
fuck.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know how long she'll be out, but Ruby Riott, she has an MCL sprain. So she's going to be out for a little bit too. And Bray Wyatt, still, there's no detail, no, like big details on his car accident, but, yeah, he may be out for a little bit, too. Yeah. Yeah, just people, oh, and more and other shit. Of course, we talked about the Japanese and Taipei tour that they had. Shinsuke was present for it, but didn't wrestle. He was, I think he was on a cane because a fucking police dog... last week, bit him, like, before the show, before SmackDown Live, so, yeah, so he had got a chunk of his leg bit off by a fucking police dog, for no reason.
Yeah.
Ain't that a bitch. That dog's racist.
Because, you know, he's a...
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the dog's racist. Anyway, what other news? And in other sad news, Lufisto, she has to get... I believe she gave up her Shine Championship, which I believe she was on, like, over 500 days of holding, I think. I think she had it a long time, apparently.
I'll try to find out how long.
Yeah, I think it was, like, 529 or something like that. Yeah, you could do the research on that. But I don't think she disclosed the type of surgery she's having, but apparently she's having surgery July 19th. So, yeah.
Yeah, she just, I wonder if it's a follow-up to her cancer.
Yeah, it might be.
Because I thought she had a successful surgery, that's what they said.
Yeah, I guess she has another one.
Her reign was 536 days.
36. Okay. So, oh, she must have gave it up a week after she announced it. Because, like, at that point, she was, like, 529. So, like, maybe a week after she gave it up, then, I mean, well, she announced it, she gave it up. So, yeah. In happier news, on the 23rd, Bianca Belair and Montez Ford of NXT fame got married. So, right now they are currently
on their honeymoon. They're on a cruise ship and the shit. Last time I checked, they were in Mexico, on the coast of Mexico somewhere. So, good on them for being a happy couple. And another couple who got married, Cedric Alexander and Ariel Monroe. I believe they already have a daughter together. Yeah, they got married over the weekend. I believe it was on this past Friday. So, congrats to them.
Congratulations to everyone.
Yeah, everybody. And congratulations to Charlotte being the first WWE superstar to be part of the ESPN body issue. And it was a fantastic spread. So, yeah, that was good on her.
Lucky to the people who are mad about the lesbian couple on there.
Oh, really? People were mad about that shit?
They were like, we don't need these kind of politics.
Man, get the fuck
out. It was
out.
A female basketball player and I think it was a
soccer player.
Or volleyball.
Soccer.
They were a couple.
I remember the soccer one, I think. I believe she was the one that took a knee a few years ago. I think that she was one of the ones who took the knee. She was the only like female soccer player that took a knee. Actually, the only soccer player, I think. Yeah, she kept it real. I like her. The short haired blondish, silverish blondish hair one. Yeah.
You can't even put a couple into the fucking thing without someone complaining.
Yeah, fuck them. Besides that, Kevin Owens finally met Shania Twain at the Montreal show that she did. He held a sign and got to talk his shit, and ended up being escorted onto the stage, and he was being a smartass about it, and it was really cool though. Didn't get the song that he wanted her to play. I believe it was "When," but a really cool moment that got some decent news coverage and shit.
And then he killed some people on Twitter for trying to talk shit.
Oh yeah, because like they were saying, like, "Oh, you're not a man for wanting to go to a Shania Twain concert." Like, shut up, dude. Like, you can't be a man and want to see a woman perform songs that you fucking like. Grow the fuck up. God damn.
Motherfucker, be an adult male.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. You know, people, like, I guarantee you, people clamor to see other female artists all the time. Like, men. Grown men. It's fine.
People are just assholes.
Yeah, it's fucking fine. Jesus Christ. I don't know. But then, WWE had tryouts over this past weekend, and some interesting names were present. 3.0 of yeah, they were there again. They showed up. La Rosa Negra was present as well. The Hughes Twins, also part of it. The Hughes Twins, if you don't know, they are Devon's sons that have been. He's been grooming for some time now. They've been, I believe, wrestling here and there in the independent circuit. So, could be cool to see them end up in the WWE. And they look better than their father because they don't have a cut up forehead. Oh man. And then besides that, a Blaster McMassive, the black one of the Devastation Corporation.
He's a good wrestler, but I thought Max Smashmaster was the one that had more personality.
Yeah.
And was good.
Yeah. But Blaster McMassive has the look. He has the look.
Yeah, but to be honest with you, I thought they both dropped off when they stopped being a tag team.
Yeah, because I think what Blaster McMassive is like, I think he's doing some work for like Beyond and Evolve, I think, here and there. Because I know Beyond, I think he's aligned with Stokely Hathaway and his crew. So that's one thing he's doing now.
Stokely Hathaway single-handedly trying to save indie wrestling.
Yo, Stokely Hathaway is like the best, period. Stokely Hathaway, Joey Janela, fucking, yeah, just Matt Riddle, whole bunch of those dudes are just doing great work in the indie scene right now. Love those guys. Anyway, and who else? Rory Gulak. Of course, he had a tryout, which was pretty interesting to me. So he's really trying to clamor hard to get back in with his brother. So the Amazing Gulak's going to be back together again.
Rory has a pretty good look, too.
Rory has an interesting look, because like, he looks like one of those guys, one of those like dudes that, like, fuck, what was that one movie that was based on real life? Foxcatcher.
Yeah.
You remember with the fucking, like, Olympic wrestlers and shit? Yeah, like, he looks like one of those dudes. But, which, ironically enough, he actually does do, like, I think he does coach, like, amateur wrestling and actually trains and that shit, too. So, makes sense. And that Greco-Roman shit. Which is funny, because I still find this transition for him funny, because I remember back in the day when he was Rory Mondo. Remember that shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, good times. With all the deathmatch stuff. Oh, man. I remember his last deathmatch type deal. I think it was, I want to say it was Tangled Web. No, it wasn't Tangled Web. It was Cage of Death. And it was a multi-man match, and Sick Nick Mondo actually came out of nowhere and surprised the crowd. They had a nice moment with Rory on his shoulders and shit. I remember that. God. Man, I wish CZW wasn't as shitty anymore. Damn. Anyway, and then the other few people that were at the tryouts that I actually care about was Robbie E. and Chelsea Green of TNA fame. So,
Also, Heidi Katrina, one half of the Sendai Girls Tag Team Champions, was there.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Huh.
She looks, I don't know how tall she is, but she looks taller than most of the women in Japan.
Heidi Katrina, isn't she like a mixed girl?
I don't think so. I know she's British.
I could have sworn she's a mixed girl.
She could be. She just looks really white to me.
Yeah.
Here we go. Hi, Trina wrestler. Let's see what comes up. She's 5'10".
Yeah, 5'10". Okay. Yeah, that's pretty tall, man.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
it's kind of hard to tell with Japanese women and other non-Japanese women sometimes.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the Japanese women are between like 5'3 and 5'5.
Yeah.
All right. 176 pounds. Well, according to this last bit of death, there's nothing in here about her being mixed.
Yeah.
But she's from E6, England.
Essex?
Essex, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
But she's a former Reina CMLL women's champion, too? Can be this.
Huh. I didn't know that. Interesting.
She doesn't have a Wikipedia page, so I have to look at all this other bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was briefly. And she wrestled but she's been in Japan for a while. Hmm. At least a year.
Huh. Interesting.
Alright. So good luck to her. But the problem is, they have so many tall blondes now. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Interesting. What last bit was left? It looks like Deonna Purrazzo is not all in anymore. Because she may allegedly actually be signing or signed to the WWE now.
Yeah. Well, that sucks.
Yeah. Well, one door closes, another door or window opens, so hopefully some people who wanted to be all in will be all in now.
I still don't like Flipboarding.
Yeah. I still haven't seen that much of him. I still haven't.
So I really don't have that much of an opinion on him besides him being a flat earther and alleged conservative. Well, that's just based on his military background.
Yeah.
Flat fucking earthers. God. Oh, and then one other news. When is Ms. and Mrs.? I think, yeah, there's been a lot of promo for Ms. and Mrs. going down. I believe the first episode of Ms. and Mrs. is supposed to be July 24th. But there's been a lot of heavy promo for it lately. So it should be interesting. So it's the Mrs. return, like, full-time return to reality TV. Because I remember he was on The Real World back in the early 2000s. And then he did a whole bunch of the Real World Road Rules challenges. I think he won a few of them. And then I think he'd done hosting for those challenges every now and then, but this is the first time he's actually been the star of a reality show in a while. So, pretty interesting stuff.
Congratulations to him.
Yeah. Yeah, and besides that, that's all I got. Yeah, that's all I got.
Damn, we don't really have much.
Nah, not really. So, which is surprising.
What the fuck is the feedback on my side of the computer?
Oh no, it's definitely my fucking side of everything. It's definitely my side. My bad. Right. But yeah. So, we do some plugs. Rant Ian Radios. You can find them on Twitter at Rant Ian Radio, and of course their website rantemradio.com. Where you could find shows like Freaks and the Geeks, Turbo Throwback, Shining Wizard Podcast, and of course their flagship show, The Rant. You could also check the archives for The Rant and other dealios there too. And for us, you could check us out Thursdays, 9 p.m. EDT time, whatever. I don't fucking know what that D stands for again, still, whatever. Demilitarized. I don't know. Whatever. But yeah, of course, pre-recorded and all that shit like that. For me, doomsday519.tumblr.com, at Joey Doomsday on Twitter, doomsday519 on YouTube as my primary channel, secondary channel, Doomsday Gorilla, spelled as in PWG's Gorilla, Doomsday Gorilla on Instagram, and at Joey Doomsday 519 on Snapchat. And do you have anything to plug, sir?
CM Towns on Twitter, Westside.goth on Instagram.
Yes.
I will try to post more while I'm on vacation. Or maybe not, I don't know.
Yeah. So whatever. It's a vacation, man. You're not obligated to do shit.
Well, I might actually take pictures of where I am in Colorado.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I took a lot of pictures at, like, museums and shit like that, but it was mostly on Snapchat, so half of that shit disappeared anyway. But I think I still have some more stuff to post on my Instagram that I saved, at least, so you can check that shit out eventually. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's it. That's all we got. So, we're gonna end it on a high note, and hey, smoke weed every day.